Thank the Lord for that song this morning. Thank the Lord for the message behind it. I suppose the part that kind of challenged me, talk about run to the darkness with your light, with your candle. I think sometimes for myself that's not an easy thing to do altogether. We live in a dark world, and I think it's one thing to let our light shine just day to day. That's extremely important, probably one of the most. But then to purposely take our light and go to a dark place and leave our comfort zone and go out into another man or another enemy's territory, that's a little daunting. That's a little causes us to have to, I believe, stay in our prayer closet a little bit longer. But thank the Lord this morning that God has provided the light for our candle, and He came to light the whole world. And He wants to use you and me, so Lord, help us to be bold in the Lord, confident in the Lord, and not afraid of the darkness, but be willing to go to that darkness with our light, the light of Christ, the candle in us that He's placed in us. This morning, have a little thought. Came to my mind during the week. And it's about God being the provider. And in particular, God providing a lamb. And how important it is for you and me to understand God has done something extremely important for every one of us. I believe He said that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. So the Lord has done something extremely precious and costly, very expensive, for every one of us. God has provided a means whereby we can be brought back into a right relationship with God. And when you think about it, of all the things that should concern us and does concern us, what is more important than the concern of having a right relationship with God? We all are destined to go out to meet Him. We're all going to leave this world. We're all going to leave as we came with nothing. And that's what's really going to be important when all this is over with. And we've cast aside all the weights and all the things that we deemed important for a season. What is still going to be important is our relationship with Him. I'm glad the Lord today in His goodness to us has provided a lamb and provided a means whereby we can have that right standing and that good relationship and that confidence with God. I'd like to rehearse in your mind a little bit this morning the story of Abraham, part of the story rather, and how he was called upon God to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. And we look upon this as an event. But I think about it, if you and me would stop and think about the magnitude of what was presented to Abraham and the command that was given to him, and we would see that in Abraham had to have been a great struggle and a great battle. I don't believe Abraham just offhandedly said, "Well, sure, God, that's no problem." I'm sure it was a great struggle with Abraham to be called upon to offer his only son, his promised son, to the Lord, back to the Lord for a sacrifice. There was questions that came up, and there were things that Isaac didn't understand. So we find the story in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. If I may, I'd read a little bit of that to us. Genesis 22:1. Accounting of the age of Isaac is in dispute as far as actually how old he was. As a boy growing up, I'd hear this story and maybe see an artist rendition of it or something, and I'd always think of Isaac as a child, a young lad at the most. And other historians and commentators feel like that Isaac was what we might even call a man by today's standards, but that he might have been an adult or near adulthood. But regardless, the Lord had promised that through Isaac, through Isaac, all the nations would be blessed. And through Isaac, the descendants of Abraham would be as the sands of the sea, as the stars of the sky. This story has more authority and depth and feeling to it when you recognize, as probably we can't today, the lineage that was important to the people in that day. To not have a son was a most terrible thing. To think that the name, your family name, would stop with you. And Abraham told the Lord, said, Eleazar, I believe, was my servant, and he'll inherit all that I had. It was extremely important to the day and the age these people lived in to have heirs and continue their name on. So Isaac was the promised one. He was born in their very old age. He was a miracle child, to say the least. He was from God, and God now said, return Isaac to me. And Abraham faced this with faith and with confidence. Lord, help us today to know that in the course of what God asks of me, God will provide. God will provide the way, and God will provide the answer, and God will provide the means by which we can please Him in the endeavors of our life. 22nd chapter of Genesis. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him up there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship, and will come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou any harm, anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The word Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide, or in the margin said, the Lord will see. I'm glad this morning that God has eyes. And I'm glad the Lord sees you and He sees me. Sees us wherever we are and whatever the circumstances may be. He knows why you're where you are. He knows why I'm where I am. He knows the things that influenced you and me. He knows the things that we yielded to. He knows the information that we received and that we act upon. The Lord sees. The Lord knows. And in His knowledge and in His ability to see you and me in our need, in our distresses, in our thinking process and understanding us, He also knows exactly what He needs to provide for us. The Lord is a provider today for His children. The Lord is a provider of all mankind. The Lord saw us all and concluded us all in distress of sin. He saw every one of us wayward and away from Him. He saw us going and destined to a devil's hell. He saw us lost, unhappy. He saw us being led astray with a hook in our nose and a hook in our jaw. He saw us doing things that we wished we had power over not to do. The Lord saw that, and He provided for us. I'm glad today that we are not without provisions for life. We're not without provisions whereby we can be a light into this world. The Lord made a way now for every one of us. Jehovah Jireh. God will see. God will understand. And God will know. And God will say, if I may say it this way, they can't help themselves. I know what I'll do. I'll go down to them. And He went to us, as the parable tells. And He sent prophets, and He sent wise men, and He sent judges, and by and large they were discarded. And He said, I know what I'll do. I'll send my son, my only son, my beloved son, and they'll reverence Him. I'm glad today God's provided a lamb for us. Let you and me rejoice that we're not without a provider. Where are you today? What do you stand in need? What are your hopes, your dreams, your fears? What are your questions? God's our provider today. What's happened to you? What's happened to me? What's come against us that kind of wants to cast us down? I look in the mirror and I see gray where there used to be dark brown. I see wrinkles where there used to be smooth skin. I kind of get to walking around and want to climb on something and I see and feel a stiffness. It wasn't there some time ago. I begin to understand that there's a lot of people that can outrun me now. There's a lot of people that can do things that I only can dream about. I'm glad God sees that too. I'm glad God has provided for us as we get older. Talking with Dale Morgan just day before yesterday, I guess, and he and I are within a year or so of each other. In his practicality, he said, Stanley, if you ever thought where we're going, me and you are going to be in 10 years and what it's going to be like, I said, Dale, I think about that quite often. It's going to be a different situation. If I'm alive, if he's alive, if you're alive, 10 years are going to make quite a bit of difference in it. I'm glad God has provided for us. We saw Sister Frances grow old. We saw her be infirm by disease and pain, not so much pain. But we saw it infirmed by the things that pretty well are common to us all. And we saw God provide for her joy and peace. Jesus, the Lord, has been so good to me. I'm glad this morning God is a provider. In our distresses and sacrifices that you and me are called on to make, I thank God that He's provided for us. That we don't have to fall prey. We don't have to be a victim, but we can be more than a conqueror because Jesus Christ lives today. I hope He lives in your heart. I hope He's alive and dynamic. I don't believe the Lord for a moment wants to be dead. I don't believe He wants us to be dead to Him. But I know in my heart that He desires us to be alive unto Him and Him alive in us, working in us, providing for us, nourishing in us, strengthening us. I'm glad today that God has provided that lamb. Abraham went up on that mountain by faith. Don't you think for a moment he didn't love Isaac? We can only base our experience on how we love our children. And Isaac had a special promise pronounced upon him. I believe it's the writer of Hebrews or one of the books of the New Testament that said, Abraham had faith that even if he slew him, the Lord was going to bring him back to life. Let you and me have faith in God. Let you and me have faith in the one who has provided for us the things that we can't do for ourselves. Let's rely on that. Self-reliance is a virtue, I would think, but it'll fail us. It'll never be complete. Self-reliance will never get us over every difficulty of life, but the Lord will never fail us. The Lord will never leave us. He's provided a means whereby we can go through this life with victory, joy, and come out on the other side into an eternal world of bliss. I'm glad today for that lamb. That lamb that the Lord provided and gave to you and me. Ever since the fall, man has struggled with God. Man had, ever since Adam and Eve hid in the garden, men have feared God. They have dreaded sometimes His presence. I think the reason of that is because all have fallen, all have failed, all have come short. And that shortness causes us to want to keep a distance between God and me, or God and you. Speaking as a man now, I'm not speaking per se as a Christian, I'm speaking as a man. There's something about the awesomeness of God, the greatness of God, the holiness of God, the justice of God, the judgment of God, the piercing eyes of God, the truth of God, that man in himself is afraid of. And we are separated of that by that fear. And because of His judgments and His justice, we certainly don't feel worthy to come. You study Abraham, things that predated the law, Melchizedek, Abraham, Adam and Eve, the two sons, Cain and Abel, and right on down Noah's time, and all the time preceding the law, you find that men had an attempt and a desire to reach out and bridge this great, vast gulf that separated men. I'm glad the Lord, in His love and His provisions, provided a lamb. Whereby the gap, whereby the gulf, whereby the very thing that so haunts man, sin, that God provided an answer. God provided for you and me an answer to the dilemma of what am I going to do about this thing. In all of man's attempts, the demons and the imps and the ugliness of sin was still a stigma. And it still clouded and it still hurt. And it still drove men farther and farther away from God. And they offered up the animal sacrifices as prescribed by Moses in the law. And in Hebrews it tells us in the 10th chapter of Hebrews in the 4th verse, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin." Never was able to deliver the blood and the efforts of man. And to that point, the efforts by God were not able. The law was good and the law was holy. Yet the law of itself made no one perfect. There was something God had yet to do. And we're going to study and think about that and praise God for it. Because this morning, that light that we sing about, that light that is in us, that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, is the provision of a holy God to a fallen mankind, to people that were hurt and enslaved and stigmatized by the ugliness and the despair of sin. God had something very much in mind. He didn't just go off haphazard and doing things on a whim. But God had a real plan, and I'm glad that the God of heaven had a plan that involved a lamb that He was going to provide that would heal us, that would deliver us, and do more than the blood of the animal sacrifices. Those things that seem so impossible today, Lord, help us to recognize that in You it's possible. Things that seem like a mountain I can't climb, a valley I can't go through, a river I can't swim, an insult that has hurt me down to the core of my very being, a disappointment or whatever, a temptation that it just seems to engulf me. I'm glad God's our provider today, and that there's no temptation that has taken you or me today that is not common to man. And God in His provision, God in His love, has made a way of escape for you and me that we might be able to bear it. Right here in this life, that our candle not go out, that our fire still be lit, that it be glowing within us, that we would not be so ashamed of the darkness that we would be afraid to go there. But God would be our, God is our provider, and we thank Him and we worship Him this morning. Through it all, down through all the attempts, and all the desires, I'm glad that God was still moving in the hearts of people. I'm glad God today is still moving in the hearts of His people. I'm glad He still talks to sinners. I'm glad He still goes out to where people seem like they're so far away. This man that Brother Jim, the author of this book, Brother Jim, told us about. Who could seem more far away than this man from Jesus Christ? Who could seem so distant than a man who taught in the Muslim religion in the university, and by the time he was approximately 12 years old, had memorized the Quran and did all those things evidently prescribed in the Quran. He did all those things that were making him whatever they aspire to be, to the degree in the university he was able to teach, but still a void and emptiness. And who would think this great God could come down to this man? Yet Jesus Christ appealed to him. The Word of God lighted a fire within him. And the man was converted in the night. It said he slept peaceful after that. The Lord is always reaching out with this provision. Come unto me. I've provided something for you. You're struggling. You're fighting. You're resisting. You're trying. You're afraid. You're doubtful. You're a sinner. Whatever the case may be, come to me. I have a provision for you. The blood of my Son has atoned for your need, for your transgression. He has power. You can have power through this atonement that you can be more than a conqueror. I'm glad today that Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Ghost, I'm glad they're still reaching out, that they haven't quit, nor will they quit. The law and all of its rights and things that were prescribed could never clear the conscience, could never take away their remembrance. And once a year, every year, year after year after year after year, animal after animal after animal, high priest upon high priest came, and one would come and he would die, and another would take his place, on and on. Every year at a prescribed time, there was a remembrance made for sin. There was no way at that time for a man's conscience to be clear from the guilt and the defilement of sin. God had something in mind, though. God wasn't through. He said the law was pointing and teaching of a time to come. It was a schoolmaster instructing the pupils about this great, wonderful Messiah that was to come. Now, you and me, we live in a day of grace. We live in the day when the provisions have been unfolded. The doors have been opened. The story, the gospel has gone forth. It's been proclaimed by the angels in the heavens. It was seen in the little babe in the manger. It was seen on the cross. It was seen at the empty tomb. Now that hope and that provision has ascended back to the Father to be there for us. What do we have need of? You and me today, through the providence and the provisions of God, can come boldly to the throne of grace. We might find grace and mercy and help and strength in our times of need. Whatever they be, God now through Christ has provided for us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Aren't you glad this morning God has provided? Aren't you glad for that thing that Abraham was scratching his head over? And I imagine Abraham was, he didn't go up on that mountain laughing. They weren't talking about what they were going to do tomorrow. I have a real feeling Abraham's mind was concentrating on, how's God going to do this? How am I going to cut my son's throat? Will I have power, strength to do it? Will I be able to lay him on that fire? After I take his life, will I be able to light the fire? His flesh will be consumed. Don't you imagine Abraham was thinking those things? What if I get up there and Isaac says, "No, Dad, don't kill me." What if he gets up there and Isaac says, "You know, I'm about as strong as you are, Dad." Let's assume he was a pretty much a grown man. "I'm as strong as you are, Dad, and I'm not getting on that." Maybe, you know, we're speculating, I know that. But don't you think there was questions? I would have questions. Sure I would. "How are you going to do this one, God?" It wouldn't be light, though. It'd be very serious. Yet Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him. It was over on his tally sheet. It was accounted to him for righteousness. Help us, Lord, to trust you, to believe you. And those questions that come in your mind, and you have them, sure you do. I have them, of course. We all have them. When a little child gets sick, sure. Races through our mind. We hear about someone in a car wreck, and we think, "Now, what would I do if it was me?" Don't we? Don't we have those thoughts? What's going to happen to me when it's my time to die? We think about those kind of things. How am I going to behave? How am I going to act? Abraham believed God. I don't know what went on through Abraham's mind. I just know he was a man like the rest of us. And I know he loved Isaac. I know he loved God. And I know that right before he did what God had told him to do, Abraham, God said, "Wait a minute, Abraham. I know you love me. Don't take this boy's life." And maybe over there, a little rustling over here behind him. Maybe he heard the bleating of that ram. Maybe he heard that ram trying to get out of the thicket. Whatever, he looked. And there, the miracle had taken place. Because one, it wasn't there when they got up there. Two, the ram was probably wild or semi-wild, and he probably would not have come around on his own accord. And he was caught in the bushes. May the Lord be glorified. He provided for Abraham, and he provided for you and me. And he will. So this thing about sin, this power that's locked men in, I'm glad God has an answer. Over in Galatians, the 4th chapter, Galatians 4 and 4. Maybe 4 and 3. "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Thank the Lord. When the fullness of time had come, when the day that God had prescribed for mankind's deliverance from sin came, in the fullness of time, God unveiled to us Jesus Christ. He unveiled to us the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. He unveiled and opened to us the Lamb that said, "Come unto me, all of you." He revealed the Lamb who hung on a tree, had his side pierced and blood and water poured out for healing, for cleansing, for washing, and for regeneration. He revealed to us the Lamb of God who tasted death for every one of us. He revealed the Lamb of God that through Him you and me might be born from above and receive the adoption of children. The adoption whereby we can say now, Abba, Father. This morning, if you're not saved and you're wondering, how do I have that close relationship? How can I look upon God the Father and say, Abba, Father? It's through Jesus Christ, the provisions of the Lamb. Through the blood, through the death and the resurrection. He was in Christ Jesus. God was right there in Him, reconciling, redeeming the world back unto Himself. God had a plan. And sometimes we don't know God's plan altogether. And sometimes we don't know how He's going to do all that He's going to do. But He's going to do it. He's going to provide. There will be the light. There will be the pathway through. There will be a means by which we can. And thank God there's a means today whereby we can be delivered. The conscience can be cleared. Old things can pass away. Over in John, the first chapter, 29th verse, John the Baptist was baptizing. And he looked and he saw a man coming. It was Jesus. And probably Jesus kind of fit into the crowd somewhat. And he said he was not beautiful that our eyes would want to look on him necessarily. And he looked upon him, though, and he saw him walking, coming that way. And I can see John maybe had a line of people there waiting in line. He was baptizing them one right after the other, perhaps. Maybe he was asking them, were they repenting? And maybe they came confessing their sins. And whatever was going on, however it was taking place there, the activities. I'm sure there was people over here talking. There was probably little children peeking out, and they was curious. And I'm sure there was birds flying overhead. There was just a lot of things going on right there. It wasn't just a sterile environment. It was a real life, everyday life environment, except probably for the baptism. Maybe there was people coming down and filling their buckets. Maybe there were some people on down on the Jordan there. Maybe they was washing clothes. I don't know. But in the activity of life, God came to us. Right down where we are, folks. He didn't ask us to come way out here. He came down to us. He didn't say, you quit all your activity and then I'll come. He came right there where we are. In our fears and in sin. He came right there. In our displeasure with ourself. In our uncertainty about life. That's where He came, right there. And He's still here for us today. Even in the hearts of the saints, when life seems so real, and it is, He's right there, providing for us. Giving to us all things that are necessary and pertains to life and godliness. So there John was. And in my mind, I can see a pause, because John was busy. Maybe John looked up, maybe he was sweating, and maybe he did like this, and he stopped. Maybe John was just wiping the sweat off his brow. Maybe somebody splashed and had water and got in his face, and he was doing this, and he stopped. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Taketh away the sins of the world. At that moment, John rejoiced. He declared the answer to life's needs right there. Jesus Christ. The thing that has separated us and stigmatized us and separated us, the old enemy that had so long held us captive, the Pharaoh of sin. Now, behold the Messiah, the anointed one, that takes away the sins of the world. Over in 1 John, John 2:2, speaking of Jesus Christ, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, the second verse. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Aren't you glad God sent him to the whole world? What did the Lord say of himself? For God so loved the world. That's you and me, folks. None of us fall outside of the world. We're not Martians. We're not from Saturn. We're from Earth. We're right here. Gravity affects us and it holds us here, and we're citizens of the Earth, the world, if you will. And God so loved all this world that he sent his Son to be our propitiation. This word propitiation is the atoning sacrifice. The Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. The propitiation means that which is the atoning sacrifice, that which enables one to gain the good favor of another. In Christ now we are accepted. Paul said we are accepted in the beloved. God has provided a lamb. We weren't there. We read. We understand a little. The man, the person that was to be forgiven oft times, would place his hand on the head or the body of the sacrificial lamb. And I believe the priest would take his throat, cut his throat and take his life. That putting the hands on the lamb, the offering, was to signify transferring, placing upon this innocent one the sins of the guilty one. And so Jesus Christ, the innocent, bore the guilt and the shame of the guilty. The pure lamb took on the sins of the whole world. Today, wherever we are, there's a provision made for every one of us. There's a provision made for every soul in this building today. There's a provision made for every mother, every father, every child, every grandparent. There's a provision. Fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything we need, God has provided. We can be saved today because God has provided the means. We can be kept saved and stay saved because God has provided the means. He is our provider. He is the one that offers to us everything, all things, the kingdom, if you will. We can be citizens of that heavenly kingdom. We can count ourselves as strangers and pilgrims going through this world today, but citizens of a great kingdom because God has provided. God has provided for us. This word propitiation also means it's the vehicle by which the reconciliation comes. And we have forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the way back through Jesus Christ. He is the vehicle by which we inherit the kingdom. He is the vehicle by which is given to us all things. This morning, the Lamb is coming. God has provided the answer. Sometimes, if I may say, I think I can say this. I don't even know the question. Have you ever had something difficult or wrong or feel bad, sick, and say, I don't know how I feel? Mm-hmm. I have. Have you ever tried to describe something and you just say, I don't know how to tell you? How do you describe grief? Brother Clifford and I were sitting across the table one time after we had lost our companion. And we were trying to tell each other the same thing, and neither one of us could convey it to the other. And we've both been in the same boat. You ever been there? There are times I am convinced we don't even know what the question is. We don't know what the problem is. God has provided an answer. God has provided light and understanding that I may say, this is where I am and this is what I need. But we can look up and see the answer in Jesus Christ. You know, it doesn't matter how far in sin people go. It matters in statistical and logistical and those kind of ways. But to the blood, the vilest, the most terrible, the most wayward, the most argumentative, the most backslidden backslider can be washed in this blood and be saved. And I thank God for that. Isaiah 53:10. Sometimes we wonder, at least I do, about love. And how intense can it be? Listen to what it said about the sacrifice of the Lamb. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. You sing a song, such love cannot be fathomed. You know what fathom is? That's when they would drop the cable or the rope over the side of the ship, and instead of marking it in feet, inches, or yards, they'd mark it in fathoms. And they'd tie a knot or a ribbon or put a clamp on it, every fathom. And they'd drop it over with a weight, and they'd just let it sink down until it hit the bottom, and they'd count off the marks. Maybe they had a mark at 100 and a mark at 200, I don't know. And they'd say, it's so many fathoms, trying to measure something. Such love cannot be fathomed. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. So it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It's his good pleasure to provide for us. It's his good pleasure to help us. It's his good pleasure to deliver us. It's his good pleasure to forgive us. It's his good pleasure to provide for his own and to provide for the whole world. It brought pleasure to God, and this is something that you and me, at least I struggle with. How did that all take place? Jesus went to the cross despising what was fixing to happen and the shame of it all. But he had a joy looking beyond for the joy that was set before him. The Lord God saw many souls being helped and many souls being saved. Father, not as I will, but as thine be done. Well, son, it'll please me for them to bruise you. It will please me for you to be put to open shame. It'll please me because in so doing, many will be set free. My kingdom can be established, and those that are lost can come home. It pleases me for you to go. Then I'll go, Lord, Father, then I'll go. Not my will, but Father, thy will be done in my life. I'd like to turn now to Isaiah, the first chapter. Said he said he'd see the travail of his soul, and that touched the Father. And he said he shall be satisfied. The Father, the wrath of God would be sated, would be satisfied. The wrath of God would be satisfied that he could then accept you and me. Such love cannot be fathomed. Isaiah, the first chapter, 18th and 19th verse. God has provided. Please, I hope we have no questions about that today. But I'll say this in respect to that. If you have questions and if you have doubts, I want you to know something. God has provided for that too. God has provided. When he said, come all, he didn't exclude us that don't understand everything. And there are some minds, you know, I'm a face value person. I really am. I never would be a politician and get involved in a lot of intrigue because I'm face value. There are people that love intrigue. Like to guess why people are doing what they're doing when they do it. And I come along and say, well, they just did it. But there are some that want to get to the ins and the outs and the why fors and the where comes and et ceteras and all that. God says, I love you too. You know, sometimes our desire to know more than we need to know gets us in trouble. God knows that. And sometimes our doubting, our pessimism maybe, gets us in trouble. God knows that. Come on. He said something here in this verse. It's the most solemn, or one of the most solemn invitations in the Word of God. I'd like to read it to you. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come. Whoever you are, whatever your problems, whatever your needs, come. Sit at my table. Take my book and learn of me. Listen. We're going to reason now. Not based on human, but on the divine provision. Come. Let us reason together. You could substitute some words here and not do disservice. Though your sins, your fears, your hurts, your pains, though whatever. Though your sins be as scarlet, I've provided a way for them to be as white as snow. Don't come with your reasoning now. Come and listen to me. Don't come and tell me how bad a fellow you are and therefore you can't be. Yes, you can be. Because I've provided a way. Behold, the Lamb has come and He takes away the sins of the world. Yes, I've made a way. Don't tell me you can't be saved. Don't tell me you can't stay saved. Don't tell me you're too bad. You're not too bad. The Lamb has come and look on Him. He takes away the sins of the whole world. The provider is Jesus, or God is the provider, and the provision is the blood of Jesus Christ. Reach out and embrace it. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. They shall be as wool. Impossible situations, God made provision for. Whatever your impossible and my impossible situation is, God hath provided. God will provide, and the Lamb of God is alive today for you and for me. The blood still flows from the old rugged cross in symbolism. The atonement is still touching the throne of grace. We can still come, all of us at labor. And though our sins be as scarlet, though our iniquities and our transgressions abound, if you be willing and if you be obedient, you'll eat the good of the Lamb. What an invitation. He solemnizes it by this next statement. But if you refuse and you rebel, Jerusalem rebelled. We'll not have this man reign over us. Oh, we will not. Their house was left destitute, empty, void, and without hope. And without the provisions that was offered to him. He solemnizes it by saying, but if you refuse and you rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I cannot say in my own mind how serious it is to take advantage of the provision of Jesus Christ. There are so many things out here, dear ones, that will devour us. Happiness, homes, lives, souls. There are so many things greater than you and me in this world. Young people, don't even fathom the idea. Don't even think of, don't even entertain the idea that you can do it without God. Don't play the fool and say, I'm going out. No, don't play the fool. You can't. There's enough testimonies in this building to tell you you can't believe the report. But for every one of us who will, we can. We can be more than a conqueror. We can overcome. God hath provided a lamb. That lamb is Jesus Christ. Those things that would devour us, our protection is the blood. This morning, how shall I say? What are our needs today? What are your feelings today? Do you feel partially devoured? David felt that. My feet well nigh slipped. You know, saints, this is a battle. And aggression is against us. And sometimes it hurts. And sometimes we're wounded. Sometimes we bleed. Sometimes we cry. The devourer is out there. Do you feel like some real big bites have been taken out of your life? Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. The Lamb that was provided for us. You get weary? Behold the Lamb. Because if we don't, do you think Satan, do you think life is going to say, I'm not going to devour that person? No. The encroachment will just keep right on. The cancer will keep right on eating and will devour. So I'm glad this morning, behold the Lamb. And all of our questions and all of our quests and all of our needs, behold the Lamb. And what is so good about the Lamb, so many good things about the Lamb, but one of them is God has provided. In the very way that we didn't understand, the Greeks thought it was, the Jews thought, oh, it can't be this way. But it was. It was exactly that way. And now through Him, we have an adoption whereby we can say, Abba, Father, I need some help. I need some help. And the Lord says, I got it. It's here. My son. Pray for me. Behold the day of the Lamb. The Lord promised beauty for ashes. Sometimes it seems like that's what we have is ashes. But I'm glad the Lord has promised that He's going to provide beauty for where there's ashes. The oil of joy where there's mourning. Sometimes it seems like that's where we are. Stuck in some type of place in life that's less than happy, and we almost got to mourn our way through life. I'm glad God has provided the oil of joy for us. So thank the Lord for Jesus Christ and the Lamb of God.